Welcome to Man Shopping with Stacy, where I share my real, personal dating and life experiences for your amusement and inspiration. I'm building a community over here of happy single people enjoying their lives as they are right now. I'm your host, Stacy Weimer, and you're listening to episode 36. I'm feeling 22 times two. Put on your party hats because this is my very first birthday podcast episode. That's right, I'm celebrating 44 on January the 6th. And just like Taylor Swift in her very peppy song about feeling 22, I am feeling 44. And my goal for this podcast is to help all of you feel happy and excited to be whatever age you are. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you understand that I am an open book, always have been, always will be. I'm also very forthcoming with my age. I share it on Facebook. I tell anyone who cares. It's not a secret, and I never lie about it or conceal it. Nah, I just own it. It's an important aspect of my identity, and I'm proud of it. I hope that you guys are too, or can grow to feel similarly. I'm going to start off by talking about the fact that I feel pretty damn comfortable in my own skin. I mean, I remember when I was a young mother, had Lainey when I was 27, and I remember dressing very modestly and thinking, I'm a mother now, this is how I should appear to the world, you know, covered up and, you know, damn near 30, I should dress like an adult. Well, I can tell you, the older that I get, the less I worry about judgment from others on how I appear or how I dress. I have a firm sense of style, which is something I didn't always have, you know, when I was younger. I didn't quite know what suited me, what looked good on me, how I, you know, could dress to really feel good about myself. I mean, that's a pretty big advantage to getting older and knowing yourself better. Being able to dress well, be comfortable in the clothes, just leads to greater confidence. And then there's this idea of being comfortable in your own skin. Naked. I've talked about this a little bit in previous episodes too. For me, absolutely. I mean, I remember being really insecure in my body, in my own skin when I was younger. Maybe marriage and being intimate for, you know, many, many years of my adult life has helped that struggle. Probably so. And I guess I'm grateful for that then. But I can tell you, I've barely been intimate since my second divorce. But when I have been, I've been really fucking confident. There's no hiding anything. And why try? Like, I take care of myself. I exercise. I do what I can to maintain the body that was given to me. And I just don't see any point in hiding. It feels good to feel good in my own skin. And it leads to greater intimacy, to probably better sex with the right person, I guess, you know? Yeah, I'd say there's a link there, wouldn't you? So along these lines of being comfortable in our own skin, I'm going to cautiously talk about another topic, and that is feeling good at whatever body weight and size I am at. Now, it's funny because I'm a small woman, not even 5'2". I've always been petite, and I've never had real challenges with my weight. But I have had real challenges with self-image. Interestingly enough, I find myself feeling differently than most people in my camp. You know, us singles over 40. And this is why. I think it's very, very common for all of us to be able to look back into our teenage years, tween years, college years, and remember what it felt like to feel awkward, to not be happy with our skin or our body, or just to be, you know, to wish that we appeared a different way. We were very insecure during those times, maybe. And now it's all resurfaced, right? You find yourself alone, trying to attract a partner, and all of those insecurities resurface, and then they're complicated further by aging, putting on weight instead of acne. Maybe we're worried about wrinkles now, hair loss, all of these things, right? So I think that's a pretty normal pattern to fall into, for good reason. I understand it, and I think it's very normal. Let me tell you why I feel like I'm a little different, though. During my second marriage, a lot of emphasis was put on appearance. Addiction will do that to a family when you're trying to cover up the bad parts, the scary parts. When you have a tumultuous relationship with your co-parent, go to great lengths to make everything look pretty on the outside. But a bigger, deeper problem for me and my self-image and body issues was that my husband didn't compliment me. Sounds maybe a little shallow, but let me tell you, it can do some damage over time. And it did. So since I never received basic compliments like, you look nice today, ooh, I like that dress that you're in, or, you know, if we were dressed up to go to a wedding, there really was never even recognition that I had gone out of my way to look good. So in retrospect, I can absolutely look back on those years of my life and see some very unhealthy patterns. One, I could never feel thin enough. The thinner I got when I was with him, the sexier I was to him. Notice I said sexy and not pretty or attractive. It was more of a sex appeal thing, oddly enough. So when I look back on photos during the years that I was married to him, there were absolutely times in my life when I was unhealthy and too thin, underweight, malnourished looking, worn out looking, because I was. I was, you know, experiencing calorie deficits all the time. And it wasn't a good look. It was very unhealthy, but it was something I was trying to maintain because I was trying to please my husband. I wanted some sort of positive attention from him, and I went to great lengths to try to get it. Now, interestingly enough, I actually got a lot of accolades from other people in my life for being supposedly fit or thin or in shape. Little did they know, I barely even exercised. It was all about diet and restriction. Not good. In fact, I remember only in the course of those years of, I mean, it waxed and waned. I wasn't always skinny. I definitely didn't maintain, you know, that underweight state all the time. It came and went. And it, you know, typically it was when things were bad and I was very stressed out that I was underweight. And I remember now looking back that my brother called me out on it one time, and in a loving way, I'd say it was in a loving way. My brother's really blunt, but he pointed out in a photo of me, in a very ridiculously stressed out time period in my life, he commented to me in a photo that I sent him that he could see my ribs, and that was not cool. And it really, I guess I was glad that somebody noticed, because I felt like I wanted someone to care and notice. So that felt good, but it wasn't the right person. Like, I wanted my husband to notice and have either concern for me or, you know, give me some sort of attention that I was seeking. I also was told, like, by a doctor near the end of my marriage, when I was very stressed out and lost a lot of weight again, that, you know, I didn't look well. So for these reasons of, you know, struggling back and forth for years to either try to get some positive attention out of my husband or some care and concern out of him or other people in my life, now that I'm single and alone, dude, I indulge all the time. I have a much healthier relationship with the scale, my clothes, and granting myself grace when I gain and lose weight, I guess. And we're not talking major fluctuations, but they are for me. They are for me and for my frame and whatever. And it feels really, really good to be able to laugh it off. Because I know that I'm healthy and I don't have, you guys, for years I struggled with probably identifiable like IBS. I was stressed out all the time. Pretty sure whatever nutrients went in my mouth just went right out the other end. Sorry to say it like that, but it's the truth. I don't have those issues anymore. In fact, I used to have a lot of physical ailments that don't bother me at all. I carried a ton of stress in my neck and my shoulders. In fact, my friend who was going through chiropractic school at the time during my second marriage, she would look at me and she'd say, "Stacy, relax your shoulders. Loosen up." Because I would hold my shoulders up close to my ears because I was tense all the time. I had compressed discs in my neck and muscle spasms. You know, lost the feeling in my hands, had tingly arms. I've talked about how I used to bruise very easily and had bruises all over my arms just from slight bumps like around the house. It's not good. So you guys, I'm over here laughing while I eat ice cream now because I'm happy. I don't carry all of that stress and all of those head games, and I'm not all about image and just looking a certain way. I'm just not. It feels good to feel relaxed, to not have stomach aches all the time, to be able to eat without worrying that someone will look at me differently or touch me more or touch me less based on how flat my stomach appears. So while I do enjoy maintaining a healthy for me weight, and I do exercise every single day, I absolutely indulge all the time. I always have practiced moderation. I'm not as restrictive as I used to be, and you better believe I will be enjoying cake and ice cream this week for my birthday, probably more than once if I'm lucky. And I hope that as you grow older, your insecurities and relationship with your body grow better. I mean, fine wine, right? You know, another topic that I spend a lot of time talking about with my friends is Botox, fillers, injections, wrinkles, sunspots, laser treatments, all of this stuff. There is such big industry in pharmaceuticals to help us look younger now. I take advantage. I'm going to guess most of you do too. I started getting a few units of Botox when I was 32 years old. I started looking at my pharmaceutical rep friends who were, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years older than me, and they looked incredible. I'm like, what are you putting on your face? Where do I buy this magic serum? And they're like, oh, honey, come with me. We're going to go to Dr. So-and-so. We get Botox and fillers and all this stuff done. And I'm like, ooh, I gotta learn about this. My thought process back then, and I kind of think it's worked, was I do very, very, very minimal things to my face because I want to look like me and I want to look my age. So at the age of 32, I was probably getting like 6 or 8 units of Botox somewhere above my eyebrows. Now I get 10 to 15 units around my forehead, little bit around my eyes. That's it, people. That's as far as I go. I'm not willing to do any more because I am chicken shit. I'm scared of fillers. I will never touch my lips. I don't do any fancy laser treatments. Skin peels. Oh my God. I joke with my friends all the time who do like those really deep peels where their skin looks like they're like a burn victim. Never, like never will I be able to do that. And I mean, all my close friends do all this stuff. I am not judging. I am just saying it is simply not for me. I intend on, just sticking with a little bit of Botox. You guys, I use really good skin products. I love the SkinCeuticals brand, M61. I have been wearing hats and a lot of sunscreen for, I don't know, about 10 years. I've been cognizant of that probably now. But look, here's the deal. It's really easy to get caught up in perfection and looking at ourselves in photos unfiltered next to other people's faces and comparing ourselves, of course, to everyone else on social media and on TV and celebrities and all of that. And here's the deal. I would rather, by far, hands down, look the way that my mom and dad do, with never having a bit of cosmetic anything done to their faces. My mom uses oil of Olay, okay? Like, she's using drugstore stuff and looks amazing. I would much rather, in my opinion, as I'm growing older, strive to look like her than some of the celebrities that you see who look like mere caricatures of themselves. So what I'm trying to say is I'd rather look like me with some wrinkles, some sunspots, some freckles than someone else. I think that there's some power in that, don't you? And I just remembered my entire point in telling you my history with Botox was to say, you know, the thought is that it kind of freezes your face. It's kind of that like muscle memory thing that you, if you can't make the expressions, then your face never really creates deeper wrinkles. I don't know if that's true or not, scientifically speaking, but I do think that it has helped limit the amount of Botox I get now. So I guess if you are teetering on wanting to get Botox or thinking about it, I would start sooner rather than later, because I do know from talking to other people who have started later in life, it gets really, really pricey if you have deep wrinkles. There you go. There's my pitch for Botox. One thing I've always admired about older people in my life is their ability to speak their mind freely. I mean, the opinions that come out of the mouths of older people can be shocking. They just don't care. There's like freedom in the fact that they feel like they've earned it. It's their right to speak their mind out loud. And if you don't like it, you could go somewhere else. You know, there's a lot to be learned from older people. Well, as I embark on my 44th birthday, here I am, feeling very free to speak my mind behind a microphone on a global podcast. I mean, again, it kind of comes down to confidence, but it also comes down to freedom, people. I was silenced for a lot of years in my second marriage. I had to, quote unquote, take the high road, put a smile on my face, pretend like everything was okay, keep the family secrets, don't rock the boat with the first wife. Just, you know, suck it up, shut your mouth, and, you know, keep paddling the boat, right? Well, now here I am with a microphone and an audience and a group, a community of people who want to engage in conversations that matter. You know, it's very liberating and awesome. And it feels good to be able to speak my opinions and be able to stand behind them and stand up for myself when need be. I know a lot of you listening don't agree with half of the shit that I say. And guess what? That is A-okay. It's quite all right. My own friends don't agree with me a lot of the time. Neither does my family. Hey, that's okay. It's, you know, Man Shopping with Stacey. I can talk about what I want here. But, you know, I love hearing the opinions of others. I'm open-minded. I'm here to learn. I say that all the time. I am here to learn. I have made plenty of mistakes in my life. Why do you think I'm talking like I'm talking to a therapist? This is therapy for me, people. And, you know, this topic about speaking freely is kind of leading me to another point that I wanted to make that I love about getting older. It's so much easier for some reason to admit my faults. Maybe this is just, you know, growth for me personally at this point in my life, but I think it takes some experience and getting knocked down a peg or two, you know, a few times to be able to be self-deprecating in your humor, to be able to take a good look in the mirror and fess up to the fact that, oh, I was wrong. I was definitely wrong on that. And own up and apologize when necessary and grow and want to be better. I mean, that is maturity, right? Oh my gosh, I think I'm becoming more mature. Bring on 44. I'm getting better over here. Isn't that kind of the point? Becoming a better person, evolving, being a better version of ourselves year over year. I mean, that is the thought process behind this whole getting better with age idea, right? With age comes experience, and hopefully, if we are paying attention, it can also lead to better choices in our personal lives, recognizing who we are, what we're looking for, what kind of partner is best suited for us, making good life choices in general, all of it. I mean, seriously, think about how your experience relates to your career at this point in your life. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you are in lifelong careers. Maybe, you know, you're a nurse or a doctor or an accountant, and that is your job, and you grew into it, you know, and you've just gotten better at it. My career's kind of been all over the place and largely in sales. But I got to tell you, it sure does feel nice to not have to chase jobs. With experience and reputation and knowledge comes recruitment. It's a beautiful thing to not have to chase the jobs anymore. They come to me now. They didn't come to me when I was, you know, 29 on, you know, monster.com trying to prove myself and convince people that I could sell things. No, it came with time. I feel qualified now. Wow, that feels good. I used to be insecure going into job interviews. Like, I don't know, this is a stretch. Am I good enough? Are my skills where they need to be? Fake it till you make it, you know? Now I don't have to do that. I feel prepared. I feel qualified. I feel confident. That came from life experience, people. And boy, am I grateful for it. You know, with all of that comes just knowing myself better. I've talked a lot about how this podcast has helped me with my own self-discovery in a million different ways. It's also helped me to develop a sense of pride. It's helped in a huge way to overcome shame. Brené Brown talks about it all the time. If you haven't watched her TED Talk, you really should. My humble opinion. To be able to overcome feelings of shame and embarrassment that comes with having broken off an engagement, been divorced twice now, made some not so great decisions maybe in my dating life. No, I can own my past now. I can own it without feeling guilty, without feeling shame. That brings about courage and bravery that I never knew I was capable of before. I encourage you to continue to work on healing after your divorce. It's so empowering and it's so critical, I think, before you can move on into a healthy new relationship. Not only have I done a decent job patting myself on the back over here of getting over some shame and guilt that has haunted me basically my whole life, but I'm also able to, dare I say, kind of pamper myself, feel good about myself, indulge, like I said earlier, in regards to food. I've just really bought into the idea of self-care. All those buzzwords, all of them, me time, all of it. And I think it's just after years of working tirelessly to like make my marriage work and just struggling and being overscheduled against my will that I just need a breather and I recognize it and I allow it. I've enjoyed it and I am looking forward to more of it. I will be an empty nester at the age of 45. While I am already trying to prepare myself for what that's going to feel like, because I know that it will come with a lot of sadness and loneliness, and I'm bracing myself for all of those feelings, I still am excited for the change. I'm happy for my daughter. I am also happy for myself. I mean, I've earned it. I've raised a kid. I've raised a kid through two marriages and blended family and little dysfunction, a lot of fun, a lot of love along the way. I've earned a little reprieve. And I'm excited to creating the future that I want. Sounds selfish. I know I sound selfish when I say a lot of these things, but man, I mean, I'm excited to see what the future holds for me. I know it'll be a lot of travel. I know that I will go to great lengths to stay close with my daughter and my family, no matter where Lainey moves to or where I could move to in the future. But I'm happy to report that each year that I grow older, I'm still optimistic for my future, whether it's alone or with a partner. I'm excited to see what the future holds for me. I will also say or admit that I do find myself at this age of almost 44 feeling a little melancholy at times. I definitely recognize now exactly how short life is. I find myself getting caught up in it sometimes that, you know, I'm probably more than halfway through this journey. I'm also very cognizant that it could be cut short at any moment. It can be hard watching family members grow older, people in my own age range afflicted with disease and conditions that are hard to live with or life-threatening. Can be sad. I mean, I even joke that I don't want to date a man who is that much older than me because, I mean, statistically, my odds are better of getting a lot of years with someone if they're closer in age. And I know whenever I even say that out loud, I feel like such a control freak. I know that I can't control love or my feelings or life. I do have faith in God that He is in ultimate control, steering me around in this wacky world of ours. I know that I can't predict my future. I know that I am at His mercy, and I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm really happy with where I'm at 44 years old, and I can't wait to see what's ahead. I hope that you guys feel similarly, no matter what age you're at. And I hope for myself that 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, I can still say the same, that I'm owning each and every age and milestone that I cross, because life is a gift and I hope I always see it that way. As I wrap up episode 36, I'm feeling 22 times two. I have a little gift suggestion in case you're wondering, you know, about something nice you could do for me for my birthday. Got a couple of them, actually. It would really mean a lot to me if you would share this podcast with a friend or two. Aside from that, if you haven't already, please consider reviewing my podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you really want to go the extra mile, take a moment on Apple and write a little review. Really goes a long way for people checking out my podcast to have a good sense that they're at the right spot and that this material is worthwhile. Just can't thank you guys enough for listening to the podcast and supporting the show. You guys mean the world to me and you make me feel special every single day. I hope that I do the same for you. Up next is definitely going to be a New Year inspired podcast. It's not titled yet, but I sure do hope that it is motivational and a whole lot of fun.